Okay, so I still see that there's a large stack of the updated Maror Mekomo Shitsa, I guess, today. Most guys didn't get to prepare further. But if you got to yesterday's Maror Mekomo, this is the beginning, and I just added. So take a sheet after from my Makom. But we'll go through the first section, first issue. Talk about the second issue, because not such a... The Rishonim just pointing out things are not major issues. But they just come out of the Gemara, and then we'll leave the rest for Friday, Mishashem, the next year. So, the Gemara Chav Zayin Amid Aleph raises the question of what should the halacha be when it comes to selling a Sefer Torah. Can you sell a Sefer Torah? So, the issue, as Rishon pointed out, is that the Mishnah that we learned, Ma'al Mekadosh Lo Maridin, so we learned the idea that you have to go up, and Kedushin you can't go down. So the Mishnah says if you sell a shul, you go to a teva, etc., etc., you're always going to higher level of Kedusha. And the question is, what about when you get to the top, which is Sefer Torah, the highest level, can you sell Sefer Torah at all? Because you can't go further. So can we sell across to get a Sefer Torah, which is at the same level of Kedusha? A question we have to see is, this question limited to Sefer Torah? Or is this a question that can be raised about other things as well? The Mishnah describes it as going up. If you sell a shul, you could go up to a teva, and teva mitzvahs, etc. But what about, can you sell one aron to buy a new aron? Can you sell one shul to buy another shul? That's another question we discussed. That's later in the Maror Mekomo. We're not going to talk about that tonight. But that the one question we do have, and the Gemara discusses, is a Sefer Torah. Before we get to the Sefer Torah issue, which we'll get to in a few minutes, one thing that comes out from the Gemara, just going through the Gemara, so the Gemara has this question, and what are the two tzadim? The Gemara says, well, you can't go up, so maybe it's Azar, because we know, Malan Mekodesh, you have to go up in Kedusha, so there's no way to go up in Kedusha, Sefer Torah is the most Kodesh thing you have, so maybe it should be Azar, or maybe since there's no other possibility, then it's going to be Mutter. And the Gemara first tries to bring a proof from the Mishnah. Because what, yeah?
If you're in the highest Malan Mekodesh, isn't it Malan Mekodesh with Emor Reason, right? Is that we're not going down. If you're selling, doing a parallel, say, like, not. Oh. We're not going down.
You're not being Olda.
You're not being Malan. So that's a great question.
The way I'm reading it is the only reason you're not allowed to be Olda is because you can't go down.
Correct. So good. So basically, what I want to do for the next couple days, our learning is going to be to understand what comes out, what are the details, namely what comes out, what the different Rishonim say about these different scenarios, and what ultimately, I haven't fully worked this out yet, but I'm pretty confident we should be able to work it back into, or not that I haven't, I just didn't see it directly linked, but we're going to have to link it, is there's a big question mostly raised by the Achronim that Malan Mekodesh Lo Maridin, if you remember from Rashi back on the Mishnah, and we're going to look at that Rashi again. Rashi on the Mishnah quoted, Rashi speak it out here? Two sources, right? Rashi has a source for Malin and a source for Lo Maridin. What? Yeah, Korach, exactly. So the question, in Menachos, it's the opposite. We're going to see this later on the Maror Mekomo, on the back page. Well, I don't have a double-sided one, but on the back page you'll see some Maror Mekomo about this. And we're going to have to understand exactly what's this idea of Malan Mekodesh Lo Maridin. What's Malan Lo Maridin? Why do we need two things? How that fits in. So that's a very good question, and we're going to have to analyze that in light of what we see now in the details of the Gemara. But for now, let's just see what the Gemara says and see what the Rishonim say, the conclusions that come out of the Gemara. So the Gemara tries to bring a proof from the Mishnah, where the Gemara says, Toshma aval machru Torah lo yichu svarim. The Mishnah said, if you sell a Sefer Torah, you can't buy Svarim. Svarim, as Rashi told us on the Mishnah, you can't buy Svarim of Nach. Nevi'im Miksuv. So what does the Gemara say? It sounds like you can't buy Svarim, you can't buy Nach, but you can buy Sefer Torah. It's only a problem to go down. That's what it sounds like. So it sounds like you can buy Sefer Torah. It says, Masnisin di'evet. Ki kam ibayilon lechatila. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah means b'di'evet. If you went ahead and sold a Sefer Torah, you can buy Svarim. Keep reading that through. If you sold Svarim, so you can't use the money to buy a lower level of Kedusha, namely Mitzvachos. If you sell Mitzvachos, you can't buy a Teva. So the Gemara seems to be saying the whole Mishnah is b'di'evet. Is that how you understood the Mishnah? The Mishnah is b'di'evet? When you guys start, we started the parak. We started learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, if you sell a shul, you have to, or you sell it, the rechov shalir, you have to buy, you buy a shul. Shul, you buy an aron. Did you think that meant, you can't really do it, but if you do it, then use the money to buy an aron. Didn't really sound that way. Plus, we learned the whole sugya of what is Kedusha Beis HaKnesses. If you remember, we talked about Tashmisha Kedusha, Tashmisha Mitzvah, all these things. It didn't sound like in that discussion, right? We said, you have a right to say, we're done with the shul. If we're done with the shul, now we're going to sell it. It doesn't have Kedusha anymore. So it doesn't sound like there's a, it's only b'di'evet, but yet the Gemara says that the Mishnah is b'di'evet. So, because, and again, because it says, if you, it's sold, right? B'nei yer shemachru, if they sold, this is what you should do. That implies you shouldn't do it, l'chatchila, but if you did it already, then here are the rules. So how are we going to explain, the Mishnah in light of this Gemara? So there are basically three approaches you could take. Anyone want to throw one out? So you could say, number one, the Rashba says that sometimes we have in a Gemara, and this is an important thing to bear in mind, when the Gemara tries to, very often the Gemara has a tashma, the Gemara has a question, and the Gemara will try to bring a proof. And then the Gemara will reject the proof. That's a classic Gemara way of going about an issue. Proof, reject the proof. Whenever you reject the proof, you have to know and think about whether the proof is a really, is a really strong rejection, or we're just, it's not really a strong rejection, we're just trying to make you work harder. In part of the Gemara, you see there, the Amoraim are trying to really clarify, to be absolutely sure, make sure they get to the real truth of the matter. So if we have a way to reject, sometimes we're just because, oh, that's totally wrong. It can't be that's true. And sometimes a rejection is just a way of saying, that's not a totally perfect proof. Bring me a better proof. But I don't really mean what I'm saying, or what I'm saying is not necessarily true, l'maskana. It's not going to be our conclusion. So says the Rashba, when the Gemara said, the Gemara tried to bring a proof from our Mishnah. Right? The question at hand in the Gemara was, can I sell one Sefer Torah by a new Sefer Torah? I brought a proof from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says you can't buy Svarim. Implies you should be able to buy a Sefer Torah. And then the Gemara rejects that, and the Gemara says it's b'di'evet. So we just thought when I presented the question, and when the Gemara said b'di'evet, the Gemara was saying, yeah, the halacha is that the only case in which you're allowed to, you can't really sell l'chatchila. If you sold, the Mishnah is telling you what to do. But l'chatchila, no way, you can't ever sell anything. That's what we thought was what the Gemara was saying. The Rashba said, no, it was just a dichuya ba'alma. That's the lashon of the Rashba we have on the page. The beginning of the second to last line, he says v'dachi, and the Gemara rejects the proof. Masnisen b'di'evet. When the Gemara rejects the proof, it says the whole mission is b'di'evet. Hasam dichuya be'almahu. That's just a dichuya be'alma, means it's just a way of, it's just a stam rejection, but it's not necessarily we feel strongly about it. So that's one possible way to read the Gemara, and that's how the Mishnah would make sense. Possibility number two, says the Rashba himself. The Rashba doesn't really break it down as two different answers, but he seems to be saying two separate things. He says, maybe the whole Gemara, what's the context of that Gemara? The context of that Gemara, our Gemara, Chazayim and Aleph, what we're up to, are we discussing the whole Mishnah? Just Sefer Torah. So says the Rashba, it could be that whole discussion and that implication of the Mishnah, that it's only b'di'evet, that was only for Sefer Torah. You have that something, sometimes you have, it's very often like in life when you're talking about, when you're, let's try to think of a good camp example since we're in camp mode, but you know, you say the Alufim are bad at basketball. I don't know if they're good or bad this year, but let's say you say that I'm bad at basketball. So does that mean every single kid is bad at basketball? No, but you mean to say like 80% of the kids are bad at basketball. That's what we're trying to get across. So sometimes when you have a, you know, we have a list of things, so we use a term that sounds one way, but it doesn't necessarily apply to every single individual case. So the Mishnah has this term, machru. The Mishnah says, if you sold it, here's what to do. Sounds like you shouldn't really be doing this l'chatchila. But that's only because there's Sefer Torah in that list. For Sefer Torah's sake, you have to use that term, because you can't sell a Sefer Torah. But for everything else, you can sell it. So that term, Machr, which implies the Mishnah is only b'di'evet, that was only necessary for the Sefer Torah part. Everything else, you were saying a list, so everything got dragged along with it. But that term did not necessarily, wasn't relating to every aspect of the Mishnah, and therefore, shul and other things, you are allowed to sell l'chatzil. If you want to go up in Kedusha, for sure, you're allowed to sell, yeah.
And isn't the formulation of the Mishnah a little bit awkward? When it says, nay, you're not heard of what we should do, right? They have, like, Mapur and Kofar are connected. Even if you're going to write it as a list, the fact you're connecting Mapur and Kofar, at least at...
But that's what we're saying. But look, the second half, really, here we're focusing on the second half. Aval im machru sefer Torah, it's in that. So if you split the mission into two, the introduction to the second half, it does well. It's a good har. So that's the Rashba's two approaches. And the third is from the Mishnah Brura, where the Mishnah Brura says that there are two aspects. This gets a little bit to your issue. This is going to relate a little bit to the Malam HaKodesh. The Mishnah has two halves. What's the first half of the Mishnah all about? The first half of the Mishnah is Malin. The first Mishnah, half of the Mishnah is telling you have to go up a Kedusha. And what's the second half of the Mishnah all about?
Emoridin.
That if you sold, you can't be Mori. So now says the Mishnah Brura, why would we want to describe it in past tense? Why would we want to describe it in a way of saying after the fact? It's tell you Chiddush. That even after you sold, and now you have money, you sold your Aron, and now you have $50,000 in the bank from selling the Aron. Even after the fact, at that point, you cannot go down with that money. You might have thought, you can't sell an Aron in order to use the money for something of a lower Kedusha. But maybe once it was already sold, you already went ahead and did it, that money has, there's no Kedusha in that money, or there's no limitations in what you can actually do with that money. Just you shouldn't intentionally sell an Aron to go down in Kedusha. So that's why it tells you in a Lashon that sounds b'di'evet, it says Mahr, if you already sold, to tell you even once you sold, once it already happened, don't think you can ever go down in the Kedusha. You're not allowed at all to go down in Kedusha. So again, similar to the last point, that it's for a certain aspect of the Mishnah, we won't have to teach it that way. So for the second half, the Ein Moriv, it's said in past tense, even after the fact, once it's sold, still the halacha remains Ein Moriv. Okay, so what comes out clear from all the Rishonim, not all the Rishonim addresses, but the Rashba and the Mishnah Brura, their assumption is clear, and it's just clear from our discussion earlier, as we said, you're allowed to go ahead and sell things to move up in Kedusha. Or you're allowed to sell an Aron. If you need to buy a Sefer Torah, you're allowed to sell an Aron to go ahead and buy the Sefer Torah. You're allowed to sell Shul if you now want to use the money to buy an Aron. You're always allowed to go up in Kedusha. That's not a problem. Going down, that is a problem for sure. Even B'di'evet, the Mishnah Brura tells us, you're never allowed to go down. And across parallel, we'll hold off on that for now. There is one exception, some exceptions to the rule that I just wanted to kind of put out there as far as selling and a little more specific to a shul. So we've said you're allowed to sell a shul to go up in Kedusha. Now the rush. Well, let's say it this way. So the Gemara throws in additional elements, right? What does the Gemara say in Chavavim Beis? I sent you the Mar Makom Chavavim Beis. The Gemara says, let's say, or what is another consideration the Gemara has? This is a little tricky. Let's assume for now you're allowed to go parallel. We'll come back to this a little bit later. Let's assume for a second you're allowed to go parallel. So what?
Shul to shul.
Shul to shul. So that sounds like the Gemara is allowing shul to shul. We're going to have to come back to that. But let's assume you could go just knock down one shul or sell one shul for another shul. So what issue does the Gemara raise? Pshiusa. Pshiusa, that you can't put yourself in a situation where you might be left without a shul. Right? If you have one shul and now you knock down the shul or you sell the shul, so you don't have a shul. If you don't have a shul ready to go, you might get lazy, forget about it, and have no shul at all. So that would be very, very bad. So that the Gemara says for sure is a problem. That's what the Gemara says on Chavavim Beis, Hadamar of Chizda, lo lister beknishta adibani beknishta achrini achrisi. You can't destroy a shul until you've already built the other shul. Hasta mishum pshiusa. So that's an issue of pshiusa. So the Gemara says, what about taking the bricks out of one shul and putting them into a new building? Well, the Gemara concludes that's usur. Why is that usur? How did you learn the Gemara? The Gemara said maybe it's only you can't destroy a shul. What's better about going from what's potentially better and why reject it about going from one for moving the bricks from one building to the next? It's going to be nicer. And what about pshiusa?
Immediately
there's no pshiusa and it's going to be nicer. So why is it us? So why is it usr? Now it's a hamina. What? Oh, so we have a few possibilities. So number one, let's just most simply might be to say, you also have to worry about pshiusa there. You don't have a shul ready to go. You're in the process of building a new shul. This is on Chavavim Beis Shmuel. If you're looking for, I don't know if you're looking for that. Looking for something else. So if you don't have the other shul ready to go, maybe there's also pshiusa. Just because you're in the process doesn't necessarily mean we have to worry. We're not worried at all. You might not get to it. One possibility. Second possibility, Adam is saying, is that the maskana is it's also because of the kedusha. Very interesting. I didn't see. Did you see someone who said that? Very interesting. Adam suggesting, that's why I was a little struggling with this before, maybe the Gemara's maskana is it's usr, because you can't go parallel. You always have to go up the Kedusha, so you can't take the bricks from one shul and build another shul. That would be a problem. Very interesting. I hear that, yes?
But what if it's not all the same bricks? Maybe it's a lot of same bricks, or an expansion. It's the same bricks, but then there's more new.
Well, I guess the assumption has to be those bricks are ready to go already. Because if you didn't have those bricks ready to go, that's still there's for sure pshiusa.
No, so you're using the same bricks in all shul. There's like let's say you're expanding your shul. So you have like a whole new part ready, and then you're adding on. The
right.
Bricks, so then you would be going
up. Why is it going up in kedusha?
Yeah, it's a new part.
Oh, so the newer. So that's a very interesting question that later in the Armakoma I have about this also. When we say malin bakodesh, what about improving the quality? Yeah, so a nicer shul, a more mehudar sefer Torah. Is that malin bekodesh? Are you allowed to, even if we're going to say
the shul's bigger, then they have more people.
They got more people. Yeah, that is when we spoke about that already. That bigger. What? Let's say you have a sefer Torah that you know there's certain hidurim, certain things that make it a little nicer. Certain chumras you might have in one sefer Torah that another sefer Torah doesn't have. But for example, on the letters we put a tagin. Right? So the tagin, the little things on some of the letters, the shin and whatever, I forgot all the letters that have tagin, but the letters that have tagin, little things on top, that's on the ma'akev, the Sefer Torah. It will still be kosher Sefer Torah. It's not as nice. So maybe you're allowed to do that. What?
There's a nicer Sefer Torah.
Are there nice Sefer Torahs? Stop. Yeah. Physically, it's nicer. So that's a hider mitzvah. We generally talk about like by lulav. Right? By Esther, I mean, it's a hider mitzvah. It looks nicer. Even it might be hider even if it's not halachically more moodier. It just looks nicer. That also. You know, talk about menorah, nicer looking menorah. So if you get out of this issue, maybe that's a way of rejecting this question. That really, the context is malin.
What's the point of using old bricks for new shul?
No, you say why they must be making a bigger shul.
Yeah, why would you just be moving?
Why would you just do this for? Unless it must be a nicer, there must be some improvement to the building.
Why would you have bad neighborhoods
surrounding the shul? Okay, I hear that. The Mavish, they slept it from...
Baltimore, the shul's like on the line.
Yeah, I hear they moved it a little few, like a mile up. Okay, I hear that. That could be another possibility. That's very interesting. These are all possibilities. I have to think about that a little bit.
Isn't there still an issue of that they're talking about the
building? Oh, how goes usher?
Yeah,
that's how Ghost Usher says it's usher because at the end of the day, good, we're not worried about shoes, so we're not worried that forever you're not going to build a shul. But right now, in the interim, as you're building, you don't have a shul. So you can't put yourself in a situation as a community. What? So that's another issue. That's different. But within this context of the Gemara, we'll talk about that in a second, but within the context of the Gemara, with the Kamash Balan is it's usher because. You don't have another place to daven.
If you go without Nigma, then you can say that if taking out these bricks won't affect the structure building, then that's fine.
Or if you have another shul in the neighborhood. Right, so that's in my Gemara.
Probably more likely
than... Right, but your possibility is also good. So in my Gemara, I have footnotes in the Rush, which is really printed in the old Gemaras, is printed like in the back. But in one of the footnotes, they point this out. If you have another shul, it should be no problem to transfer the bricks. Transferring the bricks is only a problem in the context in the case where you have one shul.
That's not the case with Sefer Torah. As far as hiring another one. So you see later on in the Gemara, again, Rashi said that
Correct. The Gemara.
Well,
that's a different issue. That's an issue of going to parallel Kedusha. So you're right. So it must be, I guess, to answer Adam's question, if you're going to hold that the conclusion is parallel Kedusha is not allowed, and there might be a difference between Sefer Torah and other things, so we'll have to work in all these things, but. Correct. That's assuming parallel Kedusha is not allowed.
So you could use that as proof to show that
Pshia is taken into account with regards to Sefer Torah. If you have another one ready, then there's no worry, then there's no concern of Pshia. But Pshia does seem to be a consideration which you'll get to soon in the Mar Makomos. So, so that seems to be the Kamash Balan that you have to make sure you have a place to daven. And this is part of the halacha. If you remember that Rambam, we learned at the very beginning of the month. So we saw that the Rambam writes that the halacha is the people in the community can force each other to build a shul. Having a shul is something that's very important. It's not just, you could daven anywhere, but you see the importance of having a shul, and that's this halacha. You're not allowed to destroy a shul in this way. We're going to be left without a place to daven. And so it's a community can force each other to contribute to have a shul. This is something we take very seriously. The other thing is Sam's point that if the shul is falling apart, that's the word in the Rush, quoted from the Gemara in Bavasra, tiyuha. So if there's some kind of crack in the structure of a shul, so then for sure you're allowed to destroy a shul. That would outweigh these considerations.
What if you don't have the shul falling apart and you want to really stop?
So that's what I'm saying. It sounds like that would outweigh all the considerations. I don't know if there were sakana fashos, but I think it's just the shul's gonna fall apart. So what are you gonna do? Just wait for it to crumble? Why wait for it to crumble? Just you might as well. Sometimes maybe you can't afford it. I don't know, right? You need the bricks. One thing that's important when you learn like Gemara and Rishonim and you're right. And we learned until like 100 years ago. Jews are very poor. Like we're unbelievable. Like when Rabenash, you and Gris, Miran Shragam, he said, Rabenash likes to point this out. He said, like, we're unbelievably wealthy compared to like all of Jewish history. Yeah. You learn certain things in halacha, like, it's hard to relate to, but like, because we really have incredible wealth. So we should really be makir tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu and appreciate what we have. It's an important thing. Like all of us, even if you're the really rich kid, okay. But like even the not so wealthy family is unbelievably wealthy compared to what was in Jewish history. Okay, back to our story. So that consideration does seem to outweigh the Be'er Halacha. If you saw, basically summarizes this discussion. The Mishnah Berurah refers to himself later in the Be'er Halacha, where the Be'er Halacha makes the point that that we shouldn't be selling. That even though we said before that the Mishnah is l'chatchila, you're allowed to sell. The Mishnah is really, we read it as l'chatchila. You're allowed to sell in order to go up a kedusha. You're allowed to sell shul to go up to the next level or an aron. When it comes to a shul, we have other considerations. We need a balance, and we don't want to sell if we have a concern of shiusa or a concern of not having another place to daven. On the other hand, we could outweigh that by having a tiyua, some kind of crack in the structure. So even though you might be stuck without a place to daven, but better to fix up our shul. And in the meantime, we'll daven in a tent for those Englewood people who davened in a tent for a long time. So it's not really so geschmack. That was really like a shul, that tent, right? You're from Englewood, right?
Yeah,
wasn't your shul? Oh, where do you daven? Who's that?
Right
on geschmack. Okay. So what's it called?
East L?
East Hill.
Yeah.
So, what's the real name of the shul?
East
Oh, East Hill. Oh, it's really called East Hill. That's what's cool. All right, well, anyway, in the big shul, they dominated the tent, which was a quite... That might even have a status of a shul. That tent was quite very intense. I was there once. But so, okay, if you're stuck, you need to build a new shul, because not because you just need a fancy shul, because it's falling apart, so you could do so. The Be'er Halacha adds another consideration as well. If you, let's say you have a shul, let's say you have a building, you have no Sefer Torah. So, you can't go on without a Sefer Torah. You need to be able to lean. So that would be another factor that would outweigh the consideration of shul, so not in place of daven. Seems to be having a Sefer Torah is more fundamental, more basic, so that would kind of be something that would outweigh. So those are, that just to point out when it comes to at least the Beis HaKnesses, even though we're learning that the Mishnah is lechatchila, you're allowed to go ahead and sell these things, but we still need to weigh these other factors. Can't put ourselves in a pshusa, can't leave ourselves out of shul. On the other hand, if it means, you know, the shul falling apart, or not having certain basic necessities, so then we would be allowed to sell the shul. All right, we're going to stop here. We only got to the first section on Mar Makomos, which is what a lot of you guys did the other day. Keep on going. There are lots of issues that come out of this Gemara, and we'll have next year on Friday.